This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
It's a special day. We were talking about it. A youth day. It is 50 years since thousands and thousands of black students peacefully marched to protest oppressive Bantu education laws and the mandatory use of Afrikaans in black schools.
So we told you earlier on that the learners are already in the building. Now they are in studio. We're going to be getting into a conversation with them. We have a topic, and we told you that the topic we will put on the table is a topic that we have attempted to discuss on the show, but we failed because we needed the young minds to come in. And
when was it? Was it last month?
Yes, it was last month.
Yeah, we were talking about a voter registration, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we'll introduce the topic, and it is pertaining to the youth of South Africa, and only they can bring forth the ideas and the arguments and whatever, the thoughts that they have. So they are in studio. We'll just let them introduce themselves at the moment before we start the conversation. Let's start with the Northern Academy School. Am I introducing you right? You guys have rebranded and many things. What is your
Meridian
school?
Give Meridian. No.
There we go. Come to the closer to the mic. They're Kuro now.
Right? Kuro Meridian, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Aha, there we go. So can you guys introduce yourselves?
My name is Natasha Kokoti, and I have Mponkobo and Kelim Tongero with me.
Beautiful. And then from PEPS, who do we have? Introduce yourselves.
Hello, we have Kujo Meti and Neo Musomani.
Aha. So those are our learners in studio this morning. After this very short break, we are going to be hearing from them.
They have already introduced themselves from two different schools, and we have our learners this morning.
So the topic that they're going to be looking at this morning, we will start by hearing from Kuro Meridian learners first and then hear from PEPS learners. So why is the youth no longer voting or no longer showing interest in voting? And what it'll actually take to bring you guys back to the polls as young people? And it's what we are saying this based on the reports saying that voter registration has gone down severely among youth voters. Kuro Meridian?
From the information that we have gotten and research, we have found out that young people aren't registering to vote because of the distrust and their less interest in politics. Young people do not trust politics because politics have been making promises and not keeping them up. They're not delivering what they tell us that they're going to do when they are doing election speeches. So as young people, they see that the government is not actually delivering what they promise us to deliver. So it makes us trust them less. We are not... we are facing issues. We have unemployment rate, which is high. It's 66.9%. Now, we do not have jobs. So we feel like we are not connected with the government on a level that they allow us to, they provide what they promise us.
All right. Kuro Meridian putting their first point there, talking about trust and how they've lost trust in the government. And then we hear from PEPS learners. Step forward.
Okay, I'm going to start by saying that there is a general level of understanding and also concessions to the harms, well, not the harms, but the causes of the youth not voting with Kuro Meridian. There is a lack of trust and credibility towards the voting systems in South Africa, especially when considering who is in charge of navigating and actually organizing and making sure that voting is effective in the country. When you look at the IEC and where they get their funding from, it kind of causes a level of distrust in terms of like the voting systems and also the youth engaging and trusting that their vote actually makes a difference. Also the media. There was a time in South Africa where the media was centralized more on the negatives and the disadvantages of voting, where everyone was speaking about how their vote doesn't make a difference, no matter if they vote or not. They feel as though the results are already predetermined. To add on to that as well, there is a lack of options in terms of like the parties that people can vote for. So it's either you conform to a party that's already bad, or you vote for a party that doesn't have enough sorry, enough numbers, enough character within the political industry for you to trust them to make a difference. So it's the lack of credibility, the lack of trust, looking at the nature of who runs the voting systems, as well as a lack of options.
There we go. PEPs putting it forward, essentially at the heart of everything, bringing forth the issue of trust as well. Just spreading it widely among, questioning the IEC, questioning the media.
But then let's go to, you know, I had, PEPs representative saying something to the effect that, we don't have, enough options.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever realized how many, political parties there we have on the ballot?
Listen, there are a lot.
And then I'm tempted to ask if that has to do with, the substance when they talk. What's the substance? Are they not like satisfactory in terms of, putting forward what they, promised to do for the people? I don't know.
She made it very clear. She said, either the party is bad or the party is not credible.
Mm.
So I think that covers. It means the 100 and mamang number of parties that she's in, they are not credible. All right, moving back to Kura Meridian, is there any other representative who wants to speak on this particular topic, or can we introduce another topic?
Yes, my name is Mpongova, and on this topic, I'd like to say that the youth is underrepresented, and I feel like with the political parties that we have today, they are focusing more on gaining or keeping the voting, and I'd say they want the older people because that's who they've trusted for a long time. And we have to remember that the political party who's in power at the moment, they helped us through the 1996. And obviously, the older people would put them up on a pedestal and see this political party as perfect. But in reality, us younger people are seeing the faults in this. And I'm not saying some older people aren't too. I'm saying us as young people don't have a representative for us to speak. We have to protest, we have to shout, we have to scream for people to hear our voices. And we as a South African nation need to realize that the wants and needs of older people and younger people are so different. We need to turn our perspective from the older people to our future, which is the younger people. And we need to realize just how important it is to represent us, and that specifically the political party that's in power at the moment, they've carried this older generation and they've helped this older generation. But exactly what have they done for the younger generation? They have not done much. We keep speaking about spaces in university, and we keep speaking about the lack of unemployment, but we are being it feels like we're being suppressed. And all these politicians that we're supposed to trust, especially in the year 2026, all these politicians that we're supposed to trust, there are news reports of them coming out and being arrested for corruption that we have never seen before. And I think that we as young people, as we've mentioned, distrust is one of the biggest things. How are we supposed to trust a political party when time and time again they've shown us exactly why we aren't supposed to trust them?
All right, wrapping it up there from Kiro Meridian, essentially looking about saying representation matters, as the youth feeling underrepresented, and a very important point that she put forward there. If I were to just summarize it, it sounded like she was saying that the youth is being used to drive up the numbers during elections, but they do not have that impactful participation. And it feels like she's saying they feel muted, if I can put it like that.
And so, she's also like calling for prioritizing education and employment.
All right, then, hearing from PEPs, representation from this side. All right, let's hear any other pointers. We'll also get into what can be done to remedy the situation.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we are identifying where they stand with everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So let's just hear it from PEPs, and then we'll get into what can be done. How do we remedy the situation then?
I think in addition to Kutro's point about having a more positive media outlook, I think we'd need to have a more balanced media, because the media did have a big... Yes, including you guys, did have a big impact on how people voted, because there were stories about like the ANC's continuous failings. There were rumors about the IEC being an independent political party, or the IEC being corrupt, or IEC officials being arrested days before elections. All of those things led to a genuine distaste, not only for the ANC, but for voting as a whole. And I think the opposite could also be true if we have a more balanced media, balanced media projection of things, the fact that there are positive things that political parties have done, like a minority party such as the IFP, which ever since coming into power, most of its municipalities in KZN have reached a state of financial stability that they haven't seen before. And also a bit more emphasis on the fact that voting does make a change, because this is the first time since 1994 that the ANC does not have an outright majority of 60%. Mm. And I think that shows that if we just channel our efforts into the right people, then change can happen.
So she's talking about objective reporting, objective media coverage. Yeah.
30 seconds each. We are closing this particular topic. We'll jump into the next one later on. 30 seconds each, quickly. What can be done to remedy the situation?
You give the younger generation, what do you call this, a chance to speak up and give their suggestions and state what is wrong with the government or the political parties, to be fair. And they also open like a suggestion box so that they can talk, express themselves. Maybe if they're able to express themselves and the political parties do actually change, they will start registering to vote. They will see the change in these political parties.
All right, 30 seconds. What can be done to remedy the situation?
He who controls the media, he who controls the world. Like we've been saying, the best way is to make sure that the media does an objective representation of voting, all the harms and all the benefits that exist. We must make sure that information is accessible, where we can look at the difference that voting has made. Like Noah has mentioned, the statistics of the ANC losing majority of their power shows that change can be done. So that side must be shown, as well as the distrust and the lack of credibility in terms of like the voting systems.
All right, there you have. We'll let you chew on that, let you digest everything you've heard. We'll come back for a second round with another topic. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
Well done.
I think you should actually give yourself a thunderous applause. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, we might have heard about UK's move to block under 16s from social media. So government is saying this is to give children their childhood. But then Meta, YouTube, Snapchat are all criticizing this movement.
Definitely. So it has been a big talking point because a majority of the time when you look at it, you have people spend time on Snapchat, in private messaging between friends and all of that, and even on these other different social media platforms. So just to give you a rundown, if you've just joined us, we are in studio with learners from two schools, Cura Meridian and PEPS in Polokwane. And for Youth Day, we have them in studio to come and have a discussion on different topics, just to hear what their thinking is. We've just, wrapped up on one of the conversations, on one of the topics. Now we're getting into another one. And based on what we've just introduced, the question we are putting on the table is, should South Africa consider this move to ban social media for children under the age of 16? Is social media having a positive or a negative influence on the South African youth? That is the question. This time around, let us start with PEPS and let us hear your thoughts on this. Someone from PEPS, step forward. Let's hear what you have to say.
In terms of this topic, we prepared a more neutral stance where we acknowledge that social media can have positives and negatives. It's not just because we're teenagers and we like social media, but a few positives specifically for those under the age of 15 and children include the fact that social media apps like YouTube Kids, for example, allows for educational content to exist and for information to be explained in a much more palatable way than in the traditional classroom setting, for example. The fact that a lot of regulations exist, like Google Family Link and Apple Safari Link, which lets families control their kids' screen time and blocks certain harmful websites, and in general can allow parents to kind of, to observe what their kids are watching on social media. So we do say that it has those positives where it can be used recreationally or for kids to connect or for kids and preteens to connect with each other. And those regulations do exist so that they can do that safely. But in terms of the negatives, despite those regulations existing, harmful content has still found a way to spread. People still have porn addictions, people still have general social media addictions, and people are still adopting very problematic views that can sometimes stem from social media, like the spread of the manosphere, for example. We think on the opposite spectrum, social media could, we think on the opposite spectrum in terms of the second part of the question on the impact. We think social media could also have a more positive impact, specifically on 16-year-olds and above, the fact that it opens you to more views and ideas outside of where you are. I think we see this when with South African TikTok or South African TikTokers becoming more and more liberal. The fact that people are starting to deconstruct different parts of our culture, like ideas like people's uncles not being comfortable with their nieces or daughters wearing certain things. People are deconstructing that and saying that he shouldn't be uncomfortable, and it's actually quite unsettling for a grown man to be uncomfortable with whatever a teenage girl is wearing. People are deconstructing the Makoti culture in general, and if women should be treated like that in a patriarchal if women should be treated like that, and whether or not South Africa is inherently patriarchal. We think we see this with a lot of shows like The Polygamist, for example. People cause people don't like Jonas. But other than that, people recognize the fact that the polygamist is a reflection of a lot of South African households and what they look like, and are even starting to move away from traditional marriage or traditional ideas of what a woman is supposed to be to a man. Or
All right. Okay.
Okay, perhaps a lot of important issues raised there. Let's hear from Kira Meridian.
Just like perhaps, we are both neutral on this stand. But I will focus on the positive sides, and then Natasha will focus on the negatives, and Mpo will conclude. So let's start with connection. Platform data shows that 71% of teen social media use is private messaging. For a child in Seshego, WhatsApp is the only way they can communicate with their mother in Johannesburg. That's the only way they can receive a good night text from their mother. That's the only way they can get guidance from their mother, through private messaging. Education, and also on my second point, education. For a matriculant who stays in an area that's isolated, where there is no library, YouTube is their only source of education, their only source of material, study material. That's the only thing that can help them. If they open YouTube, they watch their shows, they watch the videos, and they get their lessons. By banning this, it won't help. And during COVID, 62% of South African youth used social media to continue learning. WhatsApp study groups replaced classrooms because data was cheaper than a taxi from Magayeng. Mm-hmm. All the way to town.
Mm.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Third, The Voice. These same platforms give us hashtag Fees Must Fall. They gave us young activists at UL and across Limpopo a platform to organize a debate and demand change. Social media also builds the digital skills of our youth needs for jobs. Let's take my school, for example. It has a media team. That's not here, unfortunately. But they are able to write, if they go to university and they're accepted into a university, they're able to state that they used to work for the school's media page. They know content creation. They know how to fix a website and all of that, right? That's how social media also benefits them in the long run, because they're able to advertise their skills onto social media. And then there are risks, but if we ban social media, we don't just remove the harm. We cut off family contact, shut down classrooms, and silence young voices. We can't protect kids by disconnecting them from the modern world. We protect them by teaching them how to use it safely. Thank you.
All right. You had mentioned that there's something you guys are going to say. So I think let's just go through what you're going to be saying, conclude, and then we'll hear the conclusion from Peps.
Yes.
So I'll be focusing on the negative impacts of social media. If you look at the negative impacts, we know that social media can lead to cyberbullying, reduction in the academic performances of learners. We feel like children under the age of 16 are not emotionally and mentally stable for social media yet. They're not yet prepared to be in social media. Social media is designed for people, it is designed to keep people on the phone for long. But if young children continue to do that, it reduces their academic performance at school. They focus more on their phones than more on their books. They say they can use the excuse that they're doing school work while they are not. That creates a big problem, because in our economy, we realize that we have unemployment rates that are high, and this is one of the contribution that leads to kids not being educated enough, not academically performing in school in a proper way that allows them to shape their future better. So it has a negative impact, because it also leads to a low self-esteem, as children under the age of 16 compare themselves to people in social media. They see people with perfect, good bodies, good looking faces without acne, and then they compare themselves to them, asking themselves, why is my skin like this? That leads to low self-esteem. Some of them, they end up trying to attempt meta because they feel like they're not perfect enough for the world. They feel that what they have to offer is not enough. It's not good as what other people have out there. They feel like they're not enough. So it leads to mental health issues.
Okay. We're going to have to conclude in 30 seconds. Let's just round it up.
In conclusion, I think both of my fellow teammates here have shown you the positives and the negatives. And I think that we need to sit down and we need to really brainstorm ways in which social media and the way it impacts people can be reduced, specifically children with their minds. Well, with their minds, because it's so they're still impressionable to everything online. So I think it's how you see things and it's how we should look at it.
Thank you, Kira Meridian. Let's conclude. Peps, in 30 seconds.
Speaking to the ban directly, we feel like even though the ban sounds good in principle, practically not so much, because you are desensitizing the youth from the harms which exist in the world holistically, and how this ban didn't even work in Australia, whereby a lot of under 16 year olds are still on the platform because the systems or the accounts can't really identify the people that are on this app. So principally, yes, it sounds amazing that we are banning social media, yay, self-esteem issues are mitigated, but you are desensitizing the youth to greater harms which exist in the world holistically.
All right, that's how we wrap it up. You heard the young minds in the province. We've had them in studio from Pepe's College, Neo Musomani, Kucho Meti, and also Mpongo, Natasha Kokosi, and Kelly Mtongera from the Northern Academy. That's Kira Meridian. Thank you so very much for being in studio. I think you've given us a lot to think about. We are not going to come to say which school did what or did best or didn't. It was all about hearing the different thoughts and to put them on the table. So the adults are listening, the media and the politicians and everyone else. You've given us a lot to think about. The IEC as well. Let me not forget that. Thank you so much. And all the best with the exams, the rest of your exams.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.